God is good, amen. All the time. And all the time he's good. Even when we was against him, he was still good. That just proves that he's not good because we're all that good. He's good just because he's good. Glory to God. I want to let me put my glasses on right quick. The title this morning, I would call this, Purify Our Hearts and Our Motives. How many knows everything with God is about your heart? It's about my heart. Because the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Whatever's on the inside of you is going to come out of you. And the reason why you need to guard it is because your heart is like a garden. When you watch TV or you hear things or you play games, whatever it is, your ears is a way into your heart, which is your garden. Right? The Bible talks about words, they're seeds. Thoughts are seeds. Those thoughts get planted in your heart, and if you don't get the wrong thoughts out, they will grow up. And they will bring you a harvest. They'll cause the issues that are in your life. Good issues, bad issues. It depends on whatever kind of seed that you let get in there. And everything with God is about our heart and our motives. Why we do what we do. Or why we don't do what we don't do. Ooh, we're getting real quiet. Everybody knows God wants purity of heart. What that means is it's a heart for Him, not for the world, not for Him and the world. You can't serve God and somebody else. You can't serve God in you. He tells us over in, what is it, Romans 12:1? You know, we quote that verse 2 a lot where it talks about our thoughts and things like that. But he says, present our bodies a living sacrifice. What happens to sacrifices? They get laid on the altar. And if it's a good one, if it's a right one, if it's a proper one, according to Scripture, it brings a sweet-smelling aroma to God. He says, for us to present ourselves to God, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And he says, that is our reasonable service. Why? Because he did everything for us. And then the Holy Spirit is here to help us. But God wants purity of heart and motives. Let's look at Matthew 3. This will be the Amplified Version. If you don't have it, Beth will put it on the screen. Matthew chapter 3, this is John the Baptist talking. Verse 11, he says, I indeed baptize you in water or with water because of repentance, that is, because of your changing your minds for the better, heartily amending your ways with abhorrence of your past sins. But he, and he's talking about the Holy Ghost, talking about Jesus, he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy or fit to take off or carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and what? Fire. He goes on, and he's talking about judgment in the next verse. He says, his winnowing fan, shovel, fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear out and clean his threshing floor and gather and store his wheat in his barn. And the chaff he will burn up with fire that it cannot be put out. But notice that he said he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. What is fire to do? Fire purifies. Fire burns off the dross. Just like we have gold, you have gold rings, earrings, different jewelry, different things like that. That did not come out of the ground like that. And we know gold is found in the dirt, in the ground, the rock, or whatever. Well, when it comes out, there's all kinds of impurities on it. There's dirt, there's rock, I mean, there's all kinds of things. So what has to happen? They have to take that gold and get off the best that they can, and then they take it and they put it in the fire. Help us, Jesus. Only the fire can burn off the impurities in mine in your life, and we all have them. And he says the Holy Ghost will do it. said, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. See, the Holy Spirit has not just come to lead me and guide me and to make my life better so I can prosper financially. And he's all into all of that. But how many knows, if my heart is not prospering, if my heart is not pure, there's not going to be much prospering out here in my life, because my thoughts are wicked. My ways are wicked. My words are wicked. Wicked, we get our word wicker from the word wicked out of the Bible. It means twisted. Y'all seen wicker furniture, right? It's just twisted up. Let's look at Malachi chapter 1. This will be the Amplified version too. Pastor was talking about honor Wednesday night. These verses is going to go along with honor. How many knows, I don't care what you do outwardly. If in your heart your motives are not right, it is not acceptable to God. Now, I've heard preaching and teaching that it don't matter about that. That whatever you give God, he accepts. That's a lie. That is not what the Bible teaches. Y'all remember Cain and Abel, right? They both knew. Now, it doesn't say in Scripture how they knew. I imagine maybe just by his spirit, somehow or another, on the inside, they knew the sacrifice or the offering they was to bring to God. Right? Because if they hadn't, God wouldn't have told Cain, if you do well, in other words, if you change, will you not be accepted? So he had to know, didn't he? And some people say it's the offering that he brought. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not about the offering, it's about the heart. Because if his heart had been right, he would have repented when God said, if you'll change, you'll be accepted. But he still would not do it. And because he wouldn't do it, then because his brother was right, because he wasn't right in his heart, he allowed his heart, instead of being changed by God and yielding to God, he murdered his brother that did right in the sight of God. Let's look here at Malachi 1. I'm going to start reading just for time's sake and what I feel like the Lord wants us to read. Here in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, I'm going to start in Amplified version. It says, a son honors his father. I've had people, old and young, say something to them, do something for them, or ask them a question. They'll be like, yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Whatever. And when they said it, Johnny, I knew it wasn't pure. What I mean by that, they're saying it out their mouth, but they are not honoring me in their heart. It's just something that they're saying. Maybe they was taught it or something like that. But how many knows, honor has to come out of the heart. It can't just be, God talks about even worship, just being lip service to him. That's not acceptable. But when my heart is right, when I truly honor the Lord, how many knows my actions then are going to be right also? But if my heart is not right, then my actions, it doesn't matter because it's not acceptable. But he goes on and he says this, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is the reverence? Scotty talked about Wednesday night telling the Lord, teach me how to fear you, God. And he means reverence, not be afraid of him. He says, where is the reverent fear due me, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest, who despise my name. The word despise here doesn't mean like we would like use the word despise. You know, we would use the word kind of like despise, I can't stand you, or I hate that, or something. God means it here in the Bible, it means think little of. You don't honor it, you don't think very highly of it, it's not valued very much. And he goes on, and he says, O priest who despise my name, or we could say think little of him. He says, you say, how and in what way have we despised your name or thought little of it? Notice what he says. By offering polluted food upon my altar. Listen, and don't just think about food. Think about today. We don't serve God in the way that they did. They had to bring food. They had to bring lambs. We don't bring that kind of stuff anymore. But how he knows, every time we come before him, we are to bring our hearts as an offering to the Lord that should be acceptable to him. And it ain't just any way we want to come. God, we're getting too quiet. He says, by offering polluted food upon my altar. We would take that as all of this, right? This is the sanctuary of God. And what goes on up here on this stage, right? Listen, if your heart, you don't want to be on this, set yourself down. Or get your heart changed. Because see, if you're up here singing and playing for somebody else, you're not getting no reward and you're doing yourself a disservice. And it is not acceptable to God and we don't want it either. If I don't want to do Sunday school, get my heart right or set down and let somebody that's got a heart for God and people to do it. And I have been there and done that. Because see, if your relationship starts getting a little cold with God, and listen to me, it don't take no bunch of sin. All it takes is start slacking off on the Word. Start slacking off on your time alone with Him. Get real busy. See, the devil don't care what you're doing. It don't have to be sin. Just get too busy to spend time with God. Because it's in His presence that we are changed. From faith to faith and from glory to glory, right? So if I don't spend time in His presence, I'm either rowing upstream or I'm flowing backwards. There's no staying there. The devil won't let you. And faith is always aggressive going forward after God, right? He said, seek me and you'll find me. I have to do that, Sandy. But He's not hiding Himself from me. But how many knows there's only one way to get there? It's through Him. Spending time with Him, spending time in His Word. And it's not because I have to. It's because I want to, and I love Him. See, He had, according to Jeremiah 29:11, for Jeremiah, and that's everybody, God has a good plan for our lives. He had a good plan before we got born again, and His plan ain't changed now that we've got born again. It is still the same. The plan has never changed. But how many knows it's up to me and you whether or not that plan of God ever gets fulfilled? Because God's done made the plan. God's done worked it out. He's done given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. If we need it, He's supplied it. We got to take it by faith, right? But if my heart's not right, I'll never make it there. See, it ain't about what you know. Sometimes you can know too much and not do enough. And know very little and do everything that's in your heart toward Him. How many knows that's what's acceptable to Him? Me and Scotty, we got born again, and I'm telling you, we're dumb as dirt concerning spiritual things. And he's a little bit religious, and I don't know nothing much at all, and he's religious, you know, and here we go. But Johnny, our heart, we laid down everything for Him. And all we done was love Him and went after Him, and how many know He's faithful. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll show you. He'll talk to you. He'll provide for you. But it's those that know and don't do. Those are not acceptable to Him. That's a danger zone. He goes on here and he says, by offering polluted food upon my altar, that's how we've thought little of Him. And you ask, how have we polluted it and profaned it? Now he's going to tell us the answer. By thinking that the table of the Lord is contemptible and may be despised or thought very little of. When you priests offer blind animals for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Present such a thing, a blind or lame or sick animal, now to your governor in payment of your taxes, and see what will happen. Will he be pleased with you? Or will he receive you graciously, says the Lord of hosts? Now then, I, Malachi, beg you, priest, entreat God earnestly that he will be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand as a defective animal for sacrifice, will he accept it or show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were even one among you whose duty it is to minister to me, who would shut the doors that you might not kindle fire on my altar to no purpose, an empty, futile, fruitless pretense. See, you can backslide sitting in the doggone pew. Hearing the Word 3 times a week. Why? Because it's all about the heart. There's nothing wrong with the Word. He says, be careful what you hear or how you hear. He says, with the measure that you use of what you hear, that's what's going to be measured back to you. He says over there in, what is it, 1 or 2 Corinthians? I forget which one. I'm thinking it's chapter 9. It says, God loveth a cheerful giver. He says, when you give, he said, don't give grudgingly. What's he talking about? The motive of my heart, Samantha. I could give you some money and hate it every step I take towards you. That's not acceptable to God. We go on here. Where'd I get to? Verse 11, maybe? I think so. It says, for from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name shall be great among the nations. And in every place incense shall be offered to my name, and indeed a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you priests profane it, when by your actions you say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit of it, its food, is contemptible and may be despised or thought very little of. You say also, behold, what a drudgery and weariness this is. I've been to the place to where I have thought before, what a trial doing this Sunday school is. I'm just talking about me, okay? I don't want to do it. It's hard. I'm tired of doing it. Can't somebody else do it? I know y'all quiet. Y'all never think this way about nothing, do you? And I hope you don't, because we don't have to. And then God, I'm not talking about recently. I mean, this has been a few years ago or whatever. But I had got into that place. I mean, I got all this head stuff going on and all this other crap that I'm having to deal with. And like I said, it's just a little bit of time. Devil don't care how long it takes. Just keep going that direction. Because, see, it's one wrong choice, then another wrong choice, then another wrong choice, then another wrong choice, until before you know it, you're clean out there. And then the things of God, your heart is not right anymore. Now you're for the world. You're for the flesh. You're for what makes you feel good, what you want. When it was, God, I want you and your will, and it is a pleasure, sir, to be used by you and to serve others. I had to change my heart. So what that meant, Sandy, is I had to do like a total, what I call a total submersion in the Word. I cut off all TV. All Facebook. I cut off everything. I turned on the Word day and night and day and night and day and night. And I read my scriptures and I read my scriptures and I got along with God and I prayed. And before you know it, Johnny, it was, oh, God, this is so good. See, that's the plan. Now my heart is willing. I want to do it. During that time, it was hard to hear from God. See, he resists the proud, but he gives grace to those that are humble. I can't do this thing. I don't know what you need. I can't anoint myself. I can't give myself the Word of God to bring to you guys. Either he writes it on my heart or I am a blank canvas. And it only comes by me spending time with him and going after him and keeping my heart. See, the thing about it is, he'll keep my heart and my mind, but I got to keep it on him. Ain't that what the Bible says? If I keep it on ungodly thoughts, and I'm not talking about necessarily sin, how many knows you can't be hood and godly at the same time? I used to feel like that, think like that. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but if you cross me, I ain't the one today, sister. Or you got the right one today, buddy. And see, Johnny, when I'm thinking like that, my actions is going to be like that, and I am divided. Either I am a Christian that will humble myself and let you do whatever you need to do and trust my God to exalt me in due season because I've humbled myself, or I will retaliate, throat punch you, whatever the case might be. And then now I've lost my testimony. Why? I can't love this world and God at the same time. I can't love me and God at the same time. Because he says, if you love one, you're going to hate the other. Or the word hate there, you could say despise or think very little of. If I think very little of God, then I'm going to be the one that's exalted. I'm the one that's in control. I can't want Scotty to change to make my life better, Johnny. Who's that about? Me! Who says that? The devil! He's all about that, all up in your flesh. He'll tell you, don't let them do that to you. Don't let them say that to you. Retaliate. What's God say? If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Be like me. I'll take care of them. Yeah, you might suffer a while, but it's going to work something good, eternal, on the inside of you if you'll let it. That's the living sacrifice. It don't feel good. But Sandy, the peaceable fruit of righteousness will come later. And everybody will see that. Let me tell you something. Y'all remember whenever Mary, I believe it was Mary, brought the alabaster box? Costly, the Bible says. I think something like a year or more's wages. I mean, you work all year long just to pay for this one little box of perfume. And the Bible says she comes and she breaks it on Jesus. Judas got mad because the Bible says he was a thief. But how precious he was to her. But see, nobody smelled the fragrance, Johnny, of that perfume until that box was broken. Nobody's going to smell, even God Himself, the fragrance that He's wanting to smell from that living sacrifice until we are broken. And I don't know anybody that enjoys that place, because it's a place of death. But how many knows that when death comes for us, there's always a resurrection? And it's always the life of Christ. Isn't that what Paul said? We die daily that He might live. That's what we're called to. Let's go on and finish this here. What did I get to? Verse 8, man? Maybe? Let's read 7. No, I think maybe 6. Where am I at? That was chapter 3. I'm over here in chapter 1. Sorry. He says, you say also, behold, what a drudgery and weariness this is. Anything that we are doing for God and people can't be like this. God's will is for me to do what He's called me to do. I'm supposed to come to this house and do what He's called me to do here for Him and to serve you. And He ministers to me. We're supposed to minister to Him, right? And then we minister to one another. I am supposed to prefer you over me. I'm supposed to see that you are blessed when I do without if need be. Right? And vice versa, if we're going to be like Him. So anything that I do, if I have a drudgery in my heart about doing something for God, I don't care what it is. Cleaning the church, doing praise team practice, praise and worship day, whatever, Sunday night, whatever the case might be, teaching the kids. If I know God's called me to do it or whatever, then I've got to get in a place with Him to where my heart is purified and my motives become right. That's the only way you're going to carry an anointing. You don't get an anointing because you pray for one. You don't get an anointing, a great anointing, because somebody slaps some oil and some hands on you. Now, there is transference of anointings. That's not what I'm saying. But how many knows you're going to be anointed to the degree that your lifestyle is like Him, because Jesus is you, the anointed one, the Christ in you, the hope of glory. In me, anybody. So if that's the case, I got to get along with God and get that straightened out. He says, and you have sniffed at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you have brought that which was taken by violence, or the lame or the sick. This you bring as an offering. Shall I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? Notice what He says. But cursed is the cheating deceiver who has a male in his flock and vows to offer it, yet sacrifices to the sovereign Lord a blemished or diseased thing. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is terrible and to be reverently feared among the nations. Now let me say this about the tithe. According to Scripture, tithe does not belong to people. According to Scripture, all through the Bible, God always had a tithe, always had a thing that He said, don't touch it, don't eat it, bring it to me. It's holy, it's set apart for me and my use alone. Tree of knowledge of good and evil, set apart. All through the Bible, the tithe, set apart. Right? All through the Bible. So you're not bringing to God an offering. Tithe means tenth. God specifies it's 10%. And listen, you can't spend it if you tithe it. Because if you tithe it, it comes off the top of whatever you got first. Listen, I've been here a long time. I've seen a lot of stuff. And God ain't counterfeiting money going to put it in your bank account. So see, it's not about if you come and you just throw 10% in that bucket or basket or whatever somebody's passing around. It is about your and my heart. If you don't want to do it, forget it. You don't have to. Ain't nobody making you. I ain't watching you. I don't care. I'm too busy caring about me. Am I right? So you got a lot of people sitting in church doing a lot of bunch of religious junk, and they can't figure out why it's not working, but it's because the heart is not right. You may be doing the acts, you may be worshiping with your lips, but the heart is not right. My heart can be right, but my head don't know, but it's still acceptable with God. Because He can teach my head. Woo, boy, it's going over good. James chapter 4, please, and this will be amplified. God's not into religion. He hates that junk. He's into heartfelt worship and service. Paul said, I'm free to do anything I choose to do, didn't he? If my heart is ain't right and I don't want to bring God what belongs to Him that He says is holy, I don't have to. But now let me tell you something. Don't start trying to claim no blessing. Because see, you can't sit with the world and be blessed by God at the same time. It don't happen. I'm talking about your heart wanting to be after. Let me say this. There is a difference in two things. A heart that in your heart you want free. In your heart you want to do the right thing. But you can't seem to find it to do it. That's a difference. There's people that their heart is right, but they are bound by things. And it may take a little time for God to get them delivered, worked out, strongholds broken down off their mind. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Then there are people to where they can stop or they could do, but their heart is right, so they don't. That's the difference with God. Ain't neither one of them right. But how many knows, when the heart is right, sometimes there's a process to get to doing the outward right thing. But when the heart is wrong, God's got to get that fixed before you can ever get even to the outward. And there's people, their heart is wrong and they're doing the wrong thing and they could stop it, but they're not. That's not acceptable to God. All right, James chapter 4. Yeah, I'm in Timothy here. James chapter 4, verse 1, this is amplified. He says, what leads to strife, discords, and feuds, and how do conflicts, quarrels, and fightings originate among you? Do they not rise from your sensual desires, those we're supposed to kill by the Spirit, that are ever warring in your bodily members? You are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled, so you become murderers. Ain't that what Cain did? To hate is to murder as far as your hearts are concerned. You burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment, and the happiness that you seek. So you fight and you war. You try to make it happen, in other words. You do not have because you do not ask. Or you do ask God for them, and what? Yet you fail to receive. Why? Because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it in sensual pleasures. You are like unfaithful wives, having illicit love affairs with the world and breaking your marriage vow to God. You do not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy. So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes a stand as an enemy against God. Or do you suppose that the Scripture is speaking to no purpose that says, the Spirit whom He has caused to dwell in us yearns over us, and He yearns for the Spirit to be welcome with a jealous love? Notice what He says. But He gives us more and more grace, power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency in all others fully. That is why He says, God sets Himself against the proud and haughty, but He gives grace continually to the lowly. Those who are humble enough to receive it. Those that will say, God, I don't want to be this way. Help me. Change me. Dive into him until you're changed on the inside. Right? That's grace. But how he knows, you got to humble yourself. God, I can't do it. God, I don't want to change. Help me, God. Want to change. He goes on, he says, verse 7, he says, so be subject to God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. You better do that as soon as the thought comes. Come close to God. Who did he say come close? He didn't say God's just going to come over and zap you. He says, I come close to God. I draw near to God, right? He says, come close to God, and he will come close to you. Recognize that you are sinners. Get your soiled hands clean. Realize that you have been disloyal, wavering individuals with divided interest, and purify your hearts of your spiritual adultery. As you draw near to God, be deeply penitent and grieve, even weep over your disloyalty. Let your laughter be turned to grief and your mirth to dejection and heartfelt shame for your sins. Humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord. And what? He will exalt you. He will lift you up and make your lives significant. So we got to humble ourselves. This is not just me and you doing this stuff. I don't know about y'all, but I have to go to him, humble myself, and tell. Because there's times I don't want to change, Sandy. Brother Brad, one time, was going to church up there, and he had these quit smoking classes. And he was trying to help us, you know, and had these quit smoking classes and something about smoking cigarettes was 9 times more addicting than heroin and different stuff, you know. And he's trying to help us and stuff like that, you know. And he said something to me, and I just told him. I said, well, I said, there's part of me wants to be here. I said, but there's another part of me don't want to. And that's exactly how I felt. Y'all never feel that way? There's a part of me, God, that I want you, but God, there's another part of me that don't. When I hear the music, go boom, boom. Hey, some other man comes out. I don't know where that come from, but anyway. Y'all just do this stuff to me, I guess. Some of y'all been hearing the music. What did Nebuchadnezzar tell him? When you hear the music, bow down. Oh, y'all ain't getting it, are you? That's what the devil says. Oh, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. On a Friday night. Y'all know God's a poet? Yeah, and a psalmist too. Ask David. Oh, I'm telling you, he just makes you do some of the craziest looking stuff to get points across. Because I've been there, Sandy. I've been there where on Friday night you want to party down. But then you want to come to church and serve the Lord on Sunday morning. And it just don't work. Because I'm miserable when I'm out there. And I keep looking for more and more to make me unmiserable. That I enjoy and make me happy and make my life better. And the further I go down that road, the more miserable I get. But the flesh and the devil keep saying, keep going. It's down there. If you get far enough, you'll find it. And it is a lie. And the Spirit of God the whole time is saying, come this way. Come this way. You need peace? I am the Prince of Peace. You need joy forevermore? I am the joy in the morning. I am the lily of the valley. I am every good thing that you seek. But you're going to have to lay down this party on the weekend. And sometimes the only way that you can do that is, like I said, you got to cut off everything of the world and submerge yourself in Him. And He will give you the desires of your heart. The Bible says it is God that works within me and you both to will, to make me want to do it. Not make me, but cause me to have the desire to want to do it. Because sometimes in my flesh I don't. But he says it's God that works within me and you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But I got to come. I got to seek if I'm going to find. Because the devil, I'm telling you, I don't care you Christian or not, saved or not. You start going down a wrong road, and the longer you stay on that road, the less you're going to be able to see right. And the less that your heart is going to be for God until you get full blown out there. I know people that they used to be saved, now they claim to be atheist. Been in this house before. Claim to be a Satanist, full blown Satanist. But see, he says, as you follow him, your path gets brighter. It gets clearer. He said, my word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, right? But how many knows when I start following my own flesh, and the devil's always enticing you. I mean, rarely do we have an original thought most of the time. There's usually one or the other in there somehow trying to drag me down, back down that road. Why? Because he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But the thing about it, he's deceptive. He tells you it's this, but it's really that. Yeah, I got about 10 minutes maybe. Let's see if we can get on to this. I wrote this down. I looked up some of the definitions of what I'm talking about and some commentaries on this. I had a real good one. If you have what's called the Fire Bible, they have a good one, but I didn't write that down. It says, clean hands. Cleanse your hands. Where he said, cleanse your hands, and you purify your hearts, you double-minded. It says, it's a call to action. How many knows they sometimes you've went far enough, and buddy, you better get up on it. Because if you don't, you're in danger. Been there, done that, backslid. Poor Sandy come tried to help me, and she left me and went to Brother Brad. Heaven knows, when we ain't right, we ain't not right. It's a call to action, to turn away from sinful actions, ungodly behaviors, and worldly compromises. See, Jesus said, a little leaven does what? It'll leaven the whole lump. A little bit here will influence a little bit over here. And how many knows, whatever we do out there, when we come together and this is the lump, it affects every leaven in this house. I mean, it affects every person in this house. When I get up here behind this pulpit, whatever I've been doing out there, partying on the weekend or whatever the case might be, or spending time fasting and praying with God, it's going to show up and it's going to come out. He says it's a call to action to turn away from sinful actions, ungodly behaviors, and worldly compromises. Listen, and don't think I'm just talking about partying down on the weekend. Sandy, I should have sent that cake home with you yesterday. I had to repent. She said, yep. We had Mama's birthday party yesterday. Oh, me and the kids, they had swimming lessons at 9 o'clock yesterday morning. So we praised the Lord all the way down there. Jesus, lover of my soul. You know, they're in the back seat. You know, the presence of the Lord. And then after that, bam! So I kind of got in the flesh a little bit at different times yesterday. Lost my game money, everything. But anyway, got this big old cake. Feeds 48 people. I think, what do we have, 30-something? Something like that. I don't know. Anyway, not enough. There's probably a big quarter chunk of that cake left. Well, I asked Mom and Granny, you know, y'all want to take some of this cake home with y'all. Granny didn't want none, Mama did. I didn't ask nobody else, Johnny. I like cake. And I didn't want nobody else to have no cake. I wanted the rest of the cake. I couldn't eat that cake if I ate on it a week. I ate some last night, then again before I went to bed, after breakfast this morning, and I've made about a dent. And I thought I could have sent that cake home with Sandy and them little kids could eat it. But I thought, no, Teresa, you selfish thing, you. I got the money, I could buy me 10 of them cakes if I want to. And I told the Lord, I said, God, I'm so sorry. I was so selfish. I just wanted cake. When I could have any cake. Ain't that what David did when his heart got wrong? He went after the one little ewe lamb. But he repented when God showed him he was wrong. See, that's the difference. A humble heart will repent. But a proud heart says, I'm okay. I'm in control. I can do it. I can handle it. Go down the road with that. You'll never make it. If you've done such a hot job, why is your life in such a mess, most of us, when we come to him? Because we didn't do that great a job, most of us. So I'm sorry I didn't send that cake home with you. And I can't do it now because I ate it with my fork. Why'd I tell you that story? Y'all really think that makes me feel good? No! I hate that y'all hear that about me. But you got them too somewhere. But it's those things we don't want to put out there. We want to think it's the partying on the weekend and the getting drunk, oh, and the adultery. No, it's the selfish things on the inside of us that God says, let me purify them through the fire. He says, then you'll be a vessel to honor. Then you'll be a vessel that brings me glory with your life. That when you are squeezed, the fruit of my spirit will come out of you instead of all these selfish motives and bad attitudes. Now, where did I get to? Oh, my. Where are we at? I was reading y'all a definition. I did the cleanse the hands. Purify the hearts, you double-minded, in that James 4 there. A commentary says, it's a call to the inward condition. He says, clear out divided motives. Just like this, I think I need to keep the tithe because I'm thinking about me and my family, what I need and all of that. Fear, whatever the case, my selfishness, there's something I want to buy. But I know God's Word says it's holy, it's set apart to Him, for His use, bring it to Him. There's a contradiction there, there's a conflict there. What that means is I'm going to have to spend enough time with Him in His Word to where I can kill that. The Bible says it's the strong spirit of a man. See, it is the spirit man that's supposed to arise to the ascendancy and take authority. When the flesh says we want to go this way, the spirit's strong, and he says, no, we're not. And then what Paul said, I buffet my body. If I need to, I'll feed the thing black and blue. But it says, clear out the divided motives. Wicked thoughts. When you have something that you know is against the Word of God, as soon as you catch that thought, take it right then and say out your mouth whatever the Word says that's contrary to that thought. Because see, it's a seed. And you let that you meditate on that while you're mowing the grass. You meditate on that while you're working in your flower bed. You meditate on that while you're at work. And before you know it, that thing goes right down in your heart, and your heart is like dirt. It's going to start making it grow, and then it's going to start bringing issues in your life. But if you'll take that thought captive right then, you'll never do the deed. You'll never have the morning glory grow up and start choking your tomatoes, so to speak. But if you don't, it will. He says, wicked thoughts and instability of trying to hold on to God and the world. Can't do it. You just cannot do it. You know, a lot of people in the church, they call it straddling the fence. You can't do it because your straddle's only so wide, honey. You're going to break apart one way or to the other. And it's usually not for God. If you don't get yourself off that fence, you're usually going. That's why God told them in the Old Testament it wasn't nothing to do with racism. It was because they served idols. Their wives, their women, they worshipped idols and all that. That's exactly what happened to Solomon, the wisest man in the earth. I'm sure he thought, I can handle it. I can take care of it. Sure you can, Solomon. We saw how that worked out, didn't we? Are you stupid? 400 and something wives and concubines? You got to be stupid. Now, I know you want to procreate, and they're supposed to and all that, you know, and so it was speeded up back there, so you take you a bunch of... But almost every one of them, Sandy, they worshipped idol gods. And that's why God said, don't mix. That's why he told the different tribes, the Israelites, he said, don't mix with them. Why? Because, see, it's a little bit of leaven. And that's the deception. It's just a little. But, see, that's the flesh and the devil. Then tomorrow, it's just again. I won't do it tomorrow. Then tomorrow comes, I want to do it. Just one more time. Just one more cupcake. Just one more fork of that cake I should have sent home with Sandy. Do I look like I need cake? Y'all can answer. That's okay. No, I don't. But I wanted it. Oh, help us, Jesus. All right. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Well, I don't think I got time. I ain't got time to read that because it's time to stop right now. But anyway, y'all can go read it later if you want to. It talks about, I've done quoted the scripture. It's talking about money as the context of it. But then the latter part, God really spoke that to my heart where it says, you cannot serve two masters. I can't serve God in me. I can't serve God in my husband. I can't serve God in my job. I serve God. Everything else comes after that, right? Then I can submit to my husband, love my husband like I'm supposed to. But God has to be first. And I don't know about you, He's the only one that can change you. He's the only one that can change me. But He has to have cooperation out of me and you. A drawing near to Him. And He will do the work. He is faithful. He promised. I've got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share, or comments or anything before we close?